Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzymes fourth quarter and fiscal year ended 2022 earnings conference call. I am Ronak Saraf, the Manager, Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. We hope you all have gone through our financials, press release, and the PPT, which has been posted in the IR section of our website. Today, we have with us Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Group CFO. The management will discuss performance and business highlights, updates on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would request you all to please read the forward-looking statement contained in the PPT and the press release. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectations, predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that may involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and result may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. Without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, Mukund sir.
Mr. Mukund Kabra, we are not able to hear you. Mr. Mukund Kabra, if you've muted your line, we request you to unmute your line.
Thank you, Ronak.
We're not able to hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking out your valuable time, and I welcome you all to conference call for the quarter and fiscal year ended 31st March 2022. At the onset, I hope everyone is healthy, safe, and taking all the necessary precautions in the wake of COVID-19. After quite a few quarters, you are welcoming people to a normal world. People have started going back to work. Starting with a quick recap of the year gone by. During last year, industry has faced some critical challenges, initially from the energy crisis, which is coal shortage and its high prices, turbulence on the raw material front, Omicron variant, unprecedented international freight escalation, geopolitical conflicts, which again led to the higher energy prices, and various other supply chain factors compounded the situation. Now, recent geopolitical conflicts and reemergence of COVID cases in China and other parts of the world are posing new challenges. The disruptions in the supply chain and logistics has further extended. Despite a lot of uncertainty and disruption in the business environment, we have stood strong and dealt with all the challenges to the extent possible. We are managing to keep our business on track and commitments towards our customers. We are continuing to build confidence with customers on our ability to serve them with right quality at economical prices and uninterrupted supply execution. Moving on to the results updates. Our revenue declined by 1% on year-on-year basis to rupees 1,317 million in quarter four and grew by 6% to rupees 5,294 million in the last fiscal. Our EBITDA declined by 27% on year-on-year basis to rupees 403 million during the quarter and degrew by 13% to rupees 2,014 million during the year. Our PAT declined by 25% on year-on-year basis to rupees 253 million during the quarter and degrew by 18% and stood at rupees 1,238 million during the year. During quarter four, our EBITDA margin stood at 31%, while it stood at 38% for the full year. PAT margin stood at 19% during the quarter, and it stood at 23% during the year. As I previously mentioned, the impact in the margins is because of inflated input costs. We have tried to optimize and manage to insulate the margins to the extent possible. During the year, we have received an US NIH accreditation to systematic enzymes and probiotic supplements, Immunocid and Probiocid, CSE3, to resolve post-COVID fatigue. And no further question later for two of our filed draft dossier, Septilis and Septclausy. Also, we received our two dossiers got clear from the European Food Authority. We will continue to focus on our priorities, that is customer retention, strengthen R&D, foreign business operation in newer geographies, expand solution and product offering, register more products across global regulatory bodies, and to look for strategic inorganic opportunities. We'll bring more resilience in our business to enhance customer value proposition and deliver long-term sustainable growth going ahead. We hope the world will become the more normal place, and that should help our business to continue on the path of stability as well as growth. With this, I will now hand over the call to Raukaji. He will walk you through the financials and key subsidiary numbers. Over to you, Raukaji.
Thank you very much, Mukund. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. The year gone was challenging for the entire industry in terms of elevated input cost and on the disrupted supply chain. And also, you know, it was very important year where one has to work on employee retention and hiring. Let me walk you through the company's financial for the fourth quarter and for the fiscal year 22. Year on year, I mean quarter four to quarter four of the last year, Mukund has given some perspective, and also, you know, for the fiscal year FY 22 and 21. Let me take you through the Q1Q numbers. So quarter 4 and quarter 3 of FY22, the revenue is down by about 19 million. So it stood at 1317 million as compared to 1336 million. EBITDA margin is down from 37% to 31%. And in rupee terms, it is down by 88 million from 491 million to 403 million. During this quarter, profit after tax has gone down by 34 million. It's about 12% of our revenue. So from 286 million, which is about 21% of our revenue, to 253 million, about 19% of our sales. The reason of decline in EBITDA is mainly because of higher raw material prices, which has impacted the material cost component of revenue. And other than that, we observed significant increase in our other expenses, and mainly the consulting charges and our CSR expenses, sales promotion activities has gone up substantially. And of course, the prices of coal, fuel, so that has gone up substantially, and we have seen the impact of it. Other than that, we have higher laboratory expenses, and stores consumption is also higher as compared to the previous quarter. Payroll cost is slightly up because of new hiring during the quarter as compared to quarter three. So overall impact on EBITDA is because of couple of reasons: lower gross margins, higher other expenses, and finance cost is slightly up by about 3 million That is mainly because of, you know, lease accounting treatment. And depreciation and amortization is again slightly high by about 4 million, but not significant impact as such. Now I will give you on 12 months number, I mean comparison of FY21 and FY22. So our revenue is increased by about 276 million, which is roughly 6% of growth, from 5,018 million to 5,294 million. And this growth is mainly driven by SciTech, where this year, you know, we have consolidated full 12 months of, you know, numbers as compared to last year, 84 days, because that acquisition happened somewhere in the month of January 21. EBITDA is down this year, mainly because, I will take you through the various reasons, but yes, from 2316 million to 2014 million, so the EBITDA margin, which was 46% in FY21, is decreased to 38% of our revenue. Profit after tax is about 23% of our revenue as compared to 30% last year. So there is a decrease of about rupees 275 million in our PAT, and now it is at 1238 million as compared to 1513 million in FY21. And the EBITDA margin, as I mentioned earlier, is lower during FY22 as compared to FY21 because of a couple of reasons, which I explained in the quarter to quarter. The same kind of situation was there for the full 12 months. We have seen that higher raw material prices has impacted our gross contribution margin by about 1%, and payroll cost is higher, mainly, I mean, as mentioned to you that, you know, SciTech 12 months of inclusion in this year. So there is an impact of, you know, in addition to SciTech, the annual increments, which has been given by our company and all our subsidiaries, that has also impacted the EBITDA margin. In addition to that, there is an impact of about 6% because of higher other expenses, and those are mainly due to the higher fuel prices, including coal. And of course, this year we have exhibited in a couple of exhibition in international market, so our sales promotion expenses are higher. And of course, consulting for various you know, business promotions, that has also gone up. And freight and forwarding, which is something, you know, most of the companies has got impacted, again that is driven because of, you know, higher fuel prices. And in addition to that, this year we have seen that, you know, now the travels and everything is becoming like, you know, a normal feature, business as usual. So travel and conveyance expenses are also higher as compared to the last year. And apart from that, there are expenses like lab expenses and source and spare parts. So all put together has impacted our EBITDA margin by about 6%. Finance cost is not significantly gone up. It is only 2 million increase as compared to FY21, and the depreciation and amortization is increased by about 63 million. This is again mainly because of 12 months of consolidation during this year. And in addition to that, when the acquisition is done, we have to allocate the purchase price. So we have some intangible assets which need to be amortized. So the impact is mainly from the SciTech perspective, 63 million. Our subsidiary numbers, as we generally share with the investors, so our Evoke's top line was about 60 million in this quarter, with EBITDA margin of 15 million and PAT of 6 million, as compared to the previous quarter of 108 million of revenue and 25 million of EBITDA and 15 million of PAT. So for FY21, the top line of Evox was about 220 million, as compared to 281 million last year. So on year on year, we have seen there is a decrease of about 22%, and EBITDA is down by about 49% from 52 million to 26 million, and the PAT is also down as compared to the last year. JC Biotech stood at 139 million of revenue in this quarter with EBITDA of 35 million and PAT of 17 million as compared to 150 million, 48 million and 27 million respectively. JC Biotech FY22 numbers stood at 503 million as compared to 504 of the last year and EBITDA of 142 million as compared to 149 and PAT of 72 million as compared to 78 million. Our largest selling product, which is anti-inflammatory enzyme, this quarter stood at 247 million as compared to 281 million, and for the year the total sales of this particular segment and a particular product, anti-inflammatory enzyme, is about 1039 million as compared to 1135 million of previous year. So roughly it constitutes about 28% of our top line for FY22 and 31% last year. Our top 10 customer contribution during FY22 is about 28% as compared to 31% last year. And B2B segment, we have not seen any kind of a growth. Numbers are flat. It's about 1.24 million in terms of USD as compared to 1.27 million last year. But yes, in terms of rupees, it is increased from 386 million to 412 million. In addition to that, we also share our we talk about, you know, the category wise our products. So in human nutrition, if we see the pharma, this is like in India market, the sale is gone up from 1125 million to 1213 million. And the other product category, which is probiotic, is, I mean, it's down from 551 million to 172 million. Biocatalyst is up from 163 million to 187 million. International sale is down from 1934 million to 2022 million. But yes, overall, if we see the B2C segment, I mean, there is no growth. Other than that, we have seen a kind of a growth in our U.S. business slightly, but that is in nutraceutical business and probiotic business. And the non-food segment has witnessed some degrowth. Our R&D expenditures during the year, including the CAPEX, stood at 232 million. This is about 4.4% of our consolidated sales, as compared to 257 million and 5.1% of our consolidated sales during FY21. That was from my side, and now we open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you so much. Please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is in the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Sir, my question is first on the company's ability to pass on pricing or pass on higher raw material cost to the customers. If I look at on a Q1Q on a YY basis, there has been a dip in gross margin, but it is kind of fine. I mean, 100 basis points here in this environment is quite understandable. But I think the problem has been more on the fixed cost as a percentage of sales. So I'm just trying to understand, has there been some loss of volumes in the import too, which has led to some sort of an operating deleverage? Because the EBITDA margin compression, both Y1 and Q is much, much higher than what your gross margins look like.
So, Nikhil, yes, to some extent, we were talking about like the probiotic business has reduced this year because of the inventory at the customer end to a certain level. That has also contributed towards the lower one, lower margins on the EBITDA front, besides like the all the price hikes. I think as we move on and as the business stabilizes this year, we should come back to the margins.
So, for probiotic, it's only business which has led to this sort of a disproportionate impact?
Yes, so the probiotic has a somewhat like impact because that business has reduced significantly for this year. It's like almost like from 61-62 CR to 17 CR, and that is the only one area which has really impacted. Some, and there is a anti-inflammatory product which has like gone down to some level because of the some registration required in the Europe and other markets. So the till we file all the papers and other things because it's now getting under the novel food. So it will again have some impact for a year and year or 2 years. Right. So those are the two areas which has like given us some kind of a degrowth on the revenue front.
So, sir, heading into FY22, I think we are almost we are past midway this quarter. So, any particular signs you're seeing of revival in both these segments in this particular year, or you? I mean, a few more quarters have to be waited, or a few more months have to be waited out before the reversal is visible.
In this the coming year, it's like a challenging, but at the same time, there are a lot of opportunities which we can see. We can see maybe like a quarter down the line, like we can see that a lot of business opportunities are getting open up because of the Russian conditions. We are getting like all the competitors and other people are going with the price hike and other areas. So a lot of people are approaching us now for the products. So all of these, there's a lot of positive developments are going on the on this area. At the same time, like the biocatalyst area, which was under pressure because of the solvent prices and the customer levels and other areas. But now, even like Chinese people are facing the price hikes and other things. So the prices are stabilizing and getting to the normal. And that is also like creating a lot of attraction on the biocatalyst area. So I think in our business, there is always a lag of one quarter or one and a half quarter, and then the things should really become more better.
Got it, sir. And sir, these potential order wins that you're talking about because of Russia or even in China, these products are already there in the market, or there are certain products that are yet to be launched by the company?
No, these products are already in the market. The Chinese impact are like the biocatalyst area where we were ready with the product, but we were not being able to sell because of the API cost was very, very low from the Chinese area. Now, like those prices has again gone back to the normal level, and that is where like a lot of attraction is coming from the all of these pharma manufacturers to manufacture APIs in India.
Got it, sir. And sir, do you mind giving some indication on what is the utilization level that the company is operating at in FY22 as well as in FY21?
Can you please repeat, Nikhil?
I'm asking you, can you give some color on what is the utilization level in FY22 versus utilization levels in FY 21 of the plants?
So if we really talk about like the raw material inflation and other inflation or the fuel inflation, now the prices are more or less getting stabilized. Now with this stabilized prices, we started working on like if we cannot like pass on all the costs to the customer, then we also started working on the cutting down the cost on the raw material front. So that should balance out like all the inflation and other things, because now the situation is more stable. Now we can see that the prices has to go down from this level rather than going
sorry,
up.
Sorry, sir. Sorry to interrupt. My question was on the production volume utilization. I mean, vis-a-vis the capacity, what is the production volume utilization that you have seen in FY22 versus FY21?
It's more or less the same thing. Nikhil, maybe 55-60%. It's very difficult to put up in terms of capacity, but there are a lot of capacity which is there. Also, like we have recently like expanded our capacity in JC Biotech from 60 meter cube fermentation to another 60 meter cube fermentation, and that capacity is also like available at this point of time. So we will be coming up with a lot of different products out there too in the given time.
Okay. So basically, sir, the company is sorted on CapEx for the next 1 or 2 years, so there should not be any major step up in CapEx.
There will be some CapEx, which is a normal maintenance CapEx, which will be somewhere around 15 crore this year. And if we get all the permissions for the R&D, what we propose in our like Nasik areas, the new R&D center, I think like we should be able to get the permission somewhere by June 8. And if we get that permission from all the government authorities, then probably 5-6 years we will be spending out there in the construction.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal Solanki from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I wanted to know, how do you shortlist the products to enter into? How long does it take for your product to hit the market from scratch? And what are your internal matrices you look at when you launch a new product? And the second question is, in the press release, you have mentioned that you are launching a lot of products. So can you please elaborate, when will the products hit the market? What will be their return on investments and stuff like that? Thank you.
So, Harshal, we generally like select the products in the area or the focus area which we operate. So our normal focus area is like the human nutraceutical, animal nutraceutical, and the food. Particularly in the food, we are focusing on like baking industry. The next level of focus will go into the dairy industry. So we try to make the complete basket as we move on into those particular areas. For example, when we will go for the dairy industry, we will be having all the baskets. Like, for example, whatever the enzymes need, whatever the probiotics we need for the dairy, and then we will go for that. Now, developing a single product makes a lot of time, depending on the, it's always R&D, depending on like the success rate. We do have quite good success rate, but let's say if we go in a biocatalyst, let's say we go for some kind of a ADH or GDH for some kind of API, then in that circumstances, we need 1 to 2 years as well. We may have to go for 3 to 4 protein rounds in that particular cases. It depends on all the product. It depends on the categories which we are like focusing. So there are a lot of different categories in terms of revenue or the base. Even like once you make a product, it really doesn't give you the market right away. It takes 2 to 3 years to really start generating the revenue. Once you like decide to make into the product, but with our expertise and with the time what we are spending in the industry, we do it at a very, very low cost. So the return of investment is hardly takes any time once we really launch the product.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, a follow-up on that, we are entering into the B2C segment as well. So by when do you expect that segment to mature, and what kind of investments are you looking to make there?
So we are already there in B2C area in the US market. We are trying to copy that model. In US also, like, we didn't get any success for the first 3 to 4 years. And I think we may not get that. We will need 3 to 4 years. We are not spending too much of money into this area. This year also we will be spending somewhere around couple of CR into this area.
Okay, got it. And sir, last question. Sir, our sales have been growing at single digits. So are you confident that our new product launches will help us grow our revenues by double digits in the coming years?
We feel so, because we are at a very good stages. Lot of things are under the pipeline. I cannot say for this year, particularly like the first quarter and one and a half quarter, but I still feel that this year we should also get a lower double digit growth. But it's difficult to predict with the given situation, geopolitical situations, and every day the situation changes. But I think like we should have more clarity by the next quarter or something.
Okay, got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. If I'm, I heard right, you said that in JC Biotech, we have almost doubled the capacity. Am I correct?
That is right, right.
So with from the earlier capacity, we had a run rate of close to 50 crore.
Right.
Yeah, 50 crore net was there. So can we expect a similar 50 crore from the additional capacity by 24 at least, or it will take even longer time to reach to that kind of level?
Yes, so as you know, like with all the JC Biotech capacity was 100% utilized, right? So we always create the capacity to begin with. Now the advantage with the JC Biotech is we do have all the solvent handling facilities available out there. So we can do the fermentation where we can use the solvent and other things, which is not there in the other two areas, other two facilities. So that was the objective, to build up the capacity at JC Biotech. The capacity on the fermentation side is over, but we are still waiting for the capacity to be installed for the downstream. I think like that work should be completed by May end or the first week of June, and then we can start like some products which require solvents, particularly into the animal feed areas and other areas where you need to do the, even in like fermentation, you need to put some solvents. So that should like that should increase our like capacity to make those enzymes which currently we are importing, and that should give us like a some more strength as we move on into this area.
Okay. So how is the demand as of now? I mean, from the DC Biotech space especially, and I mean, just wanted to understand what kind of potential revenue addition could we see for FY23 and 24, if at all you can mention.
So. More or less, like on the SERA front or the anti-inflammatory front, the capacity is fully utilized. Now we are expanding it more under the animal feed area. and this product should like come up like maybe from the second quarter of this year. And as we move on, there are like a lot of different products we can introduce into the JC Biotech facility. So there is always a lag, but maybe a couple of quarters down the line, it should start increasing the revenue.
Okay. So roughly, I mean, can we expect additional 15-20 crore kind of numbers for at least for 23?
Yeah, at least 5 to 10 years to begin with this year. I'm not really clear on this year's picture at this point of time, but as we move on, more things will get clear.
Okay. But as we are adding, I mean, mostly for this animal feed and not for your human nutritional business. So
it can be added for any of the products. At this point of time, couple of products which were like development of the R&D but for the animal feed and which we are trying to take it out there to make it because it requires solvents and we do have a solvent facility out there.
Got it. And secondly, sir, on just if it at all possible to share what is the breakup in our other expenses, how much additional logistic cost and power cost has been there?
Rauka ji?
Yeah. Give me a minute, please. So you want in terms of absolute number? Otherwise, I have given you the impact. Impact on EBITDA.
That is I have. Just if at all, I mean, a rough number on additional, I mean, incremental cost which is there on power and logistics.
So power and fuel, if I look at, you know, my 12 months number, gone up by about 60 million. Okay. And then our stores and spare parts is gone up about 25 million. Sales promotion expenses are up by about 30 million. Freight and forwarding is up about by 12 million. Travel and conveyance is up by 15 million. And the substantial increase in the other expenses, as I already mentioned to you, is on account of the 12 months consolidation of our SciTech during this year, because last year number includes only for 84 days of performance of SciTech. So that increase is about 90 million in absolute numbers. Okay. And other than that, there is an increase in, you know, lab material because of, again, you know, the increase in the prices, about 13 million. And there's of course some increase in you know, other petty and miscellaneous expenses of about 14 million. So roughly the total increase in terms of absolute number is 302 million in this FY22. From 841 million last year, it has reached to, you know, 1143 million. So I have given you complete breakup of, you know, increase in other expenses.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And just last question. As you were mentioning that obviously the employee cost has increased because of the SciTech. So just wanted to know from Q3 to Q4, has there any more addition in terms of
increase? No. Q3, Q4, the increase is not, you know, significant. If I compare my SciTech and you know, consolidated numbers, there is no significant impact.
Yeah, but there are like few people which we have taken in the marketing at the same time in the R&D. So we are expanding in the R&D. Yeah.
Payroll cost has gone up, yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay. That is from my side. Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, just a quick question. What proportion of your America's revenue are from North America?
I don't think we have that breakup.
We don't have a breakup, but I can say that most of the revenues come from the North America only.
Okay. Okay. Thank
I can
you.
Say that more than 90% if I have to be.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Jay Anand from Alta Vista Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening. I wanted to understand a bit more on the probiotic, and on one of the slides it is mentioned that last year FY21 sales was $9.8 million and this year it is $4.7 million. So why is there a significant reduction in revenue from probiotic?
So in the probiotics, like we are working on the two strategies. One strategy is supplying to the people who are already established, and the second strategy is to develop our own brands. So developing the brand requires like some more time. You need to file all the grass dossiers, you need to file all the other things, you need to go through the customer's R&D, and that is a time consuming process. So the business where like we are supplying to the probiotic to the people who are already established in the market, and we are like the supplier from at that end, there is an inventory pileup, and some of the loss of the business for that that customer from the market, and that both of those has contributed towards the reduction in the demand for the last year. We had very really hardly much of a sale on that front last year. This year the situation should become somewhat normal, not like the last year, but maybe a year before. So we should be getting back into the normal thing, but this is where like the revenues, if you really compare, those are on a significantly lower side.
Is it due to only one customer?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ketan Chera from a retail investor. Please go ahead.
I'm audible?
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. Hello. Yeah. Sir, I wanted to know, do we have any a five-year plan or a five-year goal kind of a thing? Or a roadmap, if you will, in terms of where do we want to reach in terms of scale? You know, it could be either numbers or some other goals or targets. Do we have something like that? Or we did we have it in the past before the COVID period? And have you made any adjustments to that?
So, Ketanji, yes, you're right. Before the COVID started, we made a 5-year plan to double the revenue. We were on the track, but then the COVID situation has come up. The situation has really made us a little bit shaky. You're right. We have to still sit back and into the drawing room and regroup and rearrange the plan. Once we do that, we will let you know. But more or less, we feel that those goals should be achievable. If the things become normal, more quickly the things become normal, we should be able to move on to the faster track.
Okay, so just a follow-up to that, so, you know, whatever target we have, like, you know, in terms of doubling the revenues before the COVID period, so now what is the year that we are looking forward to, like, by when we will be doubling the revenues at top line?
That's what I was saying, Ketanji. We will sit again into the drawing room and we will come back onto this. At this point of time, we are going with the same targets. Probably, I still feel if the things becomes normal, probably we should be able to onto our given track. We should really come back quickly onto our given track.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jatinder Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you share some details in terms of your R&D team, in terms of headcount over the last 3 to 4 years? Secondly, within this, if you could elaborate, how do we as an outsider look at your R&D team in terms of, so like if you see on a medical side, you probably get, PhDs and doctors that type. So if there is some qualitative aspects to share on your R&D activities, that will be good. Thank you.
Rupaji, do you have these numbers?
So numbers we will share. Meanwhile, you can give him the inputs about, the qualitative aspect, what exactly we look forward when we hire people in R&D.
Exactly.
Let me give some brief on this, and I think Mukund will add on it. As you see that we operate in, different segments, human nutrition, animal nutrition. Then apart from that, in bioprocessing segment where we have non-food and food segment. So whenever we work on, various enzymes, those are supplied, those are formulated. So there is a science which is where you need to see where the enzyme can be used. If it is going for non-food processing, you need to people who are, from the technical background of textile, pulp, paper, leather. So those who are with that kind of a, technical background, they are also part of, the R&D team. And when we talk about animal nutrition, again, the nutritionist is someone we always look upon. In addition to that, as you look to, human nutrition side, of course, the various scientists, for different segments, whether, it's genome or whether it is microbiology. So all those who have, technical and scientific knowledge and qualifications, they are always with us. And the most of them, at top level are doctorate. So they have PhDs in their field. And in addition to that, those who help them, so they are with the MSc and BSc background. So most of them are qualified, team of candidates.
Okay. At this point of there are more than 100 people if they add it to all the different labs. It depends on the area, what is there. So we have a lot of different segments. One is the animal feed, then there is a food area, then there is a nutraceutical area, then there is a biocatalyst area, then there is a fermentation R&D, and then there is a protein engineering R&D. So different segment has a different people, right? So,
right.
And then there is a formulation R&D. As Raukaji was talking about, there is another division of textile R&D, another division of detergent R&D. So it's very difficult for me to tell you exactly what is the composition. It depends on the area, what kind of jobs we are looking, what kind of work we are doing. But the team leader has to be not only PhD, but with the 10, 15 years of experience into that particular area.
Sir, how big was this team, say, 3 years ago?
So as of now, we have about, 100 plus, and then 3 years back, it was about, I think, 82 or so.
Perfect, perfect. That's it from my side. So thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants in the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now have the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for his closing comments. Mr. Saraf?
Yeah. Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our con call. We will keep you all posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.